Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come to you in prayer and that you are in our midst. We're thankful for our relationship with you and our relationship with each other here at this congregation. We're thankful for those that have come together tonight to encourage one another and study more about your will. We pray that we can grow stronger in our knowledge of your word and in our faithfulness to you and in our ability to teach others. We're especially mindful of those that are not able to be with us tonight. For Sister Rosie, we're thankful for that her surgery was successful today, and we pray for her quick recovery and for good results from the surgery. Also, please be with Jarell and help her to get feeling better after her dental procedure today. And for all those who are not able to be with us for various reasons, we pray that whatever is hindering them, that you'll remove that so they can be with us. Thankful to see Sister Sharon feeling better and back with us tonight, and we also are mindful of her sister, Adrena Hoggle, who is not well physically, and we pray that you'll be with her and her family and help restore her health. Please encourage us as we work together for you. Please help us to be faithful servants in your kingdom, and to be good examples to those that we are around. We pray for strength as we may be discouraged sometimes with things that happen around us and things that go on in this world, and we pray that we will always look to heaven as being our goal and our home, and help us to live in such a way that we can enjoy being with you for eternity. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
If you would, two others, I want to ask you to pray for as well. Sarah is having her scan this coming Friday, so please pray for her that all will go well with it and that she gets a good report back. And then Peyton Davis, who is one of Beth's cousins, is Philip's youngest son, Philip Davis. He is, his leukemia has come back, and he's actually on a ventilator at this point in time up in Huntsville, I think, or for pneumonia, so he's having a really rough go of it at the moment. So please remember him in your prayers as well. So this evening, In way of invitation, we'll start off with the English lesson. One of my favorite things in the world, as everyone knows. And that's being very sarcastic. So, if you recall from grammar, there are four types of sentences that we usually talk about. There's a declarative, which is just a statement, exclamation, imperatives that are just commands, and the interrogatives, which are questions. Tonight I want to just think about two of those. We'll think about statements and questions. Statements can be very strong. They're straightforward. They get to the point rather quickly. Turn, if you would, to Exodus 20. Probably one of the strongest and most important statements made. Beginning in verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Of course, God, they're speaking to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. He's declaring to them exactly who he is. There is no stronger statement than that, than God declaring to you who he is, that he is your God. As he's declaring here to to Israel, that he's the one that brought them out of bondage. They saw all those plagues that came upon Egypt. I did that, is what he's saying. He's letting them know, when you crossed the Red Sea, I did that. That pillar of fire you see, that's me. I'm doing all that. I am the Lord your God. I'm giving you enough signs. Well, let's think about it. Did Israel remember all those signs throughout this time? No. And they have a hard time remembering those things as well. But in the same way, we want to think about how questions can be just as powerful as a statement like that. Turn, if you would, to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, beginning in verse 9. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I command you that you should not eat? And we're going to stop there because we really know the rest of the story. But just think of what those questions made Adam do. They made him think for a minute because he had to respond back to him. You know, the children of Israel, they heard that from God. Did they have to give a response back from that statement? No, that was declarative. Here, God has asked Adam a question, and it makes him have to think. You know, it has to make him use that gray matter between the ears. He has to think about it. He has to give an answer to that. And that really sparks some learning on his part, or it should. Let's go to Job chapter 38. Job 38. At this point in time, Job has gone through all of these trials. He's gone through and has lost so much, and he's had his companions, you know, essentially tell him, Job, you've sinned. You've done something horrible. Just, you know, you just need to call it quits. And he's stood up every time and says, No, the Lord's going to be my help. But he starts to, I won't say question things, but he has thoughts in his mind, and God steps forward, or I say that, Scott, God is going to make him start to think again, and he does that by asking these questions. Beginning in verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And again, we'll stop there. So, you know, God's asking Job some very pointed questions. Were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? Again, it's getting Job to start thinking, starting to connect those neurons, starting to connect these thoughts and start helping him learn and understand, because he's going to have to come up with answers to these questions. Another good instance is Jesus using the same manner. Turn, if you would, to John 21. We just talked about this here very, very recently. But I just want to look at it again. John 21. This is, of course, as Jesus is talking to Peter after he has risen. Beginning of verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." But Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." So the question that Jesus asked him three times is, "Do you love me?" And as we talked about before, he uses two different tenses or two different ways love is translated. And we see the reaction that he was really wanting Peter to have. It started to grieve him, but it got Peter to start thinking, to start trying to understand what's going to happen to him and what was going to be required of him. Do you love me? And that should have started getting Peter to think about that question. As well, Jesus uses questions with the Pharisees to get them to try to start understanding some of the things with them. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 21, beginning of verse 23. "Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where is it from? From heaven or from men?' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will tell us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet.' So they answered and said to him, 'We do not know.' And he said to him, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" Here, a very simple question that they knew the answer to. But again, it got them to prove the point that Jesus was wanting to make to him. The baptism of John, where does it come from? Very simple question. John told them a number of times where it came from. But they reasoned with themselves, and they answered that they came up with, "We do not know." And we know that that's not right, and Jesus knew that that wasn't right. But again, it's a question that got them to start thinking. And that's what I want to look at. Or as we wrap up this evening, that's what I just want to leave you with is how can we use questions ourselves in this type, in this manner? We need to use questions when we think about ourselves. I want to recall what Noah said at the Lord's table this past Sunday when he looked at 1 Corinthians 11. We won't turn to it, but there it says that we need to examine ourselves. So what's the best way that we can examine ourselves? We have to start asking questions of ourselves. How have I been living? Looking at the example of Jesus, have I been following, have I been walking in this pattern, in this way? And as we ask ourselves those questions, we absolutely have to be honest with ourselves about those answers. We can use questions to learn more about God's Word, whether we're asking them of ourselves and finding those answers, or we ask others. We need to be like Nicodemus when he was with Jesus in John chapter 3. Jesus gave him something hard to think about. You must be born again. And Nicodemus had so many questions, but Jesus came back with answers for that. But he had the willingness to want to learn, and that's what we have to have. And questions help us open up those opportunities for learning within ourselves. We can use questions to find out where people are in their walk. We see that with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. As he's traveling back, he's reading from Isaiah, and Philip asks, "Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what he's talking about?" And starting from there, with that simple question, and the answer that the eunuch, he preaches to him Jesus, starting at that point. Asking questions as well will help to weed out the false doctrine. It'll help us to weed through, you know, what somebody says versus what God says. If we'll, again, ask those questions, ask those hard questions. Is this true? Be like the Bereans and search the Scriptures to understand that if it's the truth or not. And we get down to it, and we talked about this evening in our lesson tonight. The most important question we can ask is, what shall we do? That was the question that the people there at the day of Pentecost asked Peter. What shall we do? The rest of that is, what shall we do to be saved? That's an extremely important question, and that's the first question that everyone needs to make sure they have an answer to. What shall we do to be saved? What have I done what is necessary to be saved? So tonight, our invitation song, ironically enough, and I did not ask Brendan to do this, ask a question. Who will follow Jesus? It's an extremely important question, but it's one to think about, one that we need to again, have that within ourselves, to ask that question and to answer it honestly. So tonight, if you're subject to the invitation, if there's something in your life that you need prayers of the congregation for, or if you haven't been following in those footsteps, ask yourself why. Very simple question: why have I not been doing that? What's hindering me from doing that? And there's something that the congregation here can do for you. We invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now very thankful for the night that you've blessed us with. And we pray that everything that we've done tonight has been pleasing in your sight. And we pray for those specifically of our number who are not able to be with us. And we pray that you are with them and that whatever we may be able to do to help, that that we're able to see those opportunities and able to act on them. Pray also for those that Mr. Michael brought up tonight, that that you be with them and with their families, and that they may recover, and that they can worship you with their own congregations. And we pray that as we leave this place tonight, that we're able to continue shining your light through us, through whatever contact we may have in the world with other people, and that we can shed the hope that we feel with others, and bring them closer to you. And and we pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.